by an eyewitness by Dr. T.N. Krishnaswamy. I had the rare privilege of being allowed to stay with the Maharishi during his last days. Knowing full well that his end was near, I was inquisitive to watch and see if he would leave any message for us. Would he not speak words of solace? Would he not leave behind some directions for us? It was sad indeed to look at the suffering of the body. But the mystery was his attitude to it. He described all the pain and suffering as though the body belonged to someone else. The question arose whether he was suffering or not. How could he describe the pain and suffering so accurately and locate it in the body and yet remain unaffected by it? "There's a severe, intolerable headache," he said as he was going into a slow uremia and his kidneys were failing. The Maharishi never described the symptoms in a subjective manner. On the evening of the last day, the Maharishi asked to be propped up in a sitting posture. He tried to assume a semi-Padmasana posture. His breathing was getting labored and heavy. The attending doctor put the oxygen to his nose. Those around stood sad with battered breath. The Maharishi brushed aside the oxygen tube. There was a chorus of Arunachala Shiva from outside the room. The gathering stood dumbfounded. Would death dare to touch him? No, it is impossible. A miracle would happen. The atmosphere was tense with emotion, fear and expectation. There was some weeping. Very gently the Maharishi seemed to gasp a little and the body became still. Synchronizing with the Maharishi's last breath, a meteor was seen to trail across the sky. We could scarcely realize what had happened. He had left us once for all. No more the beatific smile to greet us. No more the graceful form to adorn the ashram. The Maharishi had deserted us. Were we now to turn our backs on the ashram and go home disappointed? This gave me a severe jolt. I was shocked. Had I missed the opportunity of a lifetime to imbibe the teaching of the Enlightened One? I had done nothing in the direction of spiritual sadhana. Had I wasted all my time taking photographs while I should have engaged myself in trying to understand and practice his teachings in his very presence? No, I said to myself, this cannot be true. I was sure that I had obtained some grace from the Maharishi. He was somehow still here. Only we have to learn to feel his presence. We would never be forsaken, for he had himself assured us that he was not going away. Then I turned to studying his teachings. I began to see light in them. Some of the sentences touched me and made me feel that I was in his presence, listening to him. I took heart. The more I read, the more intimate the Maharishi became to me. His teaching pulsated with life. I began to understand it, and it mixed with my being and became my own. A quote. Devotee. How is one to realize the self? Maharishi. Whose self? Find out. Devotee. Mine. But who am I? Maharishi. Find out yourself. Devotee. I do not know how. Maharishi. Just think over the question. Who is it that says I do not know? Who is the I in your statement? What is not known? Devotee. Somebody or something in me. Maharishi. Who is that somebody? In whom? Devotee. Perhaps some power. Maharishi. Find out. Devotee. Why was I born? Maharishi. Who was born? The answer is the same to all your questions. Devotee. Who am I then? Maharshi, smiling. You have come to examine me? You must say who you are. Devotee, however much I may try, I do not seem to catch the eye. It is not even clearly discernible. Maharshi, who is it that says that the eye is not discernible? Are there two eyes in you that one is not discernible by the other? Whatever form your inquiry may take, you must finally come to the one eye, the self.